Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and I hope you're doing well here in the middle of summer. Baseball usually is what's pretty dominant here. Sometimes it's golf. Sometimes you might have a chance to even see some things like tennis from Wimbledon. But, you know, one of the things that's getting ready to open up, believe it or not, here in the heat of the summer is football. And there's football training camps are opening all over the place. The Indianapolis Colts have started their training camp this past week. And we have with us today, or we have an interview that I did a number of years ago, a long time ago, probably 20 years ago, with the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, Frank Reich. I just saw an interesting article on Frank Reich, saw where he spoke to the Elkhart Chamber of Commerce breakfast, something that I used to attend. It's a really big deal up in Elkhart, Indiana, and they bring in various people. I know I met Tony Dungy up there one time, and they're not always athletes, but Frank Reich spoke there this year, and he had a very interesting address, very interesting speech. One of the things that he said was that he has always been the backup. And he's been a backup to Boomer Esiason in college when he was at the University of Maryland. He was the backup of the Buffalo Bills with Jim Kelly. And one of the things that he said, which is very interesting, is the fact that he likes the Bible story of Joshua. And Joshua actually was a backup to Moses. Moses was the one who was destined to go into the promised land, but Joshua was the one that was able to take the Israelites and go in. I thought that was very, very interesting. And I found Frank Reich to be a very interesting person. We did this interview, I'm going to say probably 20 years ago, maybe even longer, when he was actually out of football. And he was a pastor. He was a pastor of a small church of about 100 people. He was doing some things on a Christian website, and he also was planning on going to seminary. And he got a call from Tony Dungy, and Tony Dungy said, come back into football. And he came back on about the lowest level of the ladder that you could possibly be with the Indianapolis Colts, and moved around. Actually showed his skills as an offensive coordinator. In fact, took the Philadelphia Eagles offense to the Super Bowl, and then 2 years ago became the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. So our guest is Frank Reich. I hope you enjoy this interview. We'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did with Frank Reich many, many years ago down in Charlotte. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face once again. Glad to have you with us. Today we're talking football with a former quarterback in the NFL who had probably one legendary game and a number of games that he got to play in that maybe weren't quite as famous, but made his name, I guess, pretty much throughout the NFL as a backup quarterback, Frank Reich. Frank, thanks for being with us. I know that you're called the comeback kid because of that one game, and we'll get to that before long, but let's talk about the fact that you spent a lot of years in the NFL, and a lot of times people would look at you as a backup quarterback, but you had a lot of good years, and with a lot of the teams that you were with, you had some good games.
Well, thanks, Tom. It was fun, but fortunately, was playing on some teams that were some pretty good teams, at least in my earlier years, playing 10 years with Buffalo. Being surrounded by a good cast of teammates certainly made my job easier at times.
You played, for how many teams? I know you played for Buffalo, you played for Carolina, you played for the Detroit Lions. Did I miss any?
You missed the New York Jets.
Okay.
Yeah, in the infamous 1-15 season that we had.
Okay,
in there,
year that you'd like to forget.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Buffalo years. You were AFC champions, got to the Super Bowl, and three times?
Actually, four consecutive years.
Four consecutive years, got to the Super Bowl. Tell us, I don't know if it can ever become mundane to play in the Super Bowl, but when you go four consecutive years, you kind of expect to be there.
Well, you really do, But it's funny, even though you expect to be there, there's nothing mundane about it. The excitement was there every year, the anticipation, the thrill, the determination, and the motivation each and every year was there, even though your expectations would rise every year as well.
The problem, of course, with the Buffalo Bills is they got the reputation of not being able to win the Super Bowl, and that had to be a devastating feeling.
It is very devastating. When you put as much effort, as much time and energy into something to accomplish something, it hurts when you don't attain what you're after. And that, of course, our goal from a football standpoint was always to be the Super Bowl champions. And when that doesn't happen, it naturally is a time of disappointment and reflecting upon that.
You have to go back and, I guess, basically start over. The feeling when you come so close and you don't get it, how long does it take before you get yourself up and you say, okay, it's time to go back to square one, basically, and get ready for the next year?
I think probably every person deals with that individually on a different basis. I know, for instance, the one Super Bowl that I played a lot in because Jim Kelly got hurt in the beginning of the second quarter of Super Bowl 27, I think it was. And so I ended up playing 2.5 quarters in that one, and it was not a pretty sight. So it took me a little bit longer to get over that one.
Let's talk about these various Super Bowls. First of all, you've got them here on your wall, so it's a little easy to see. 1990 Super Bowl 25 in Tampa Stadium with the Buffalo Bills. Tell us about that one.
Of course, that was one around Desert Storm. We were playing a game, and there's helicopters flying around the stadium. It was very eerie feeling. Whitney Houston sang the national anthem as the Jets flew over top. Very moving and emotional moment, a very tense moment in American history, and really gave the Super Bowl a different feel. Of course, we lost that game as I was holding the kick that missed wide right on the last play of the game, and we lost by 1 point.
20-19, I believe, to
the New York Giants.
To the New York Giants. And then in 1991, you came back. You came very close again on that one. I believe you lost by 3 points on that one. Super Bowl 26 that was played in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
Well, no, actually
Super Bowl 90, we're talking about 92. Is that right?
Yeah, the 91, I actually think the 91 Super Bowl was played in the Metrodome. The 92 Super Bowl, they have them mixed up there. Long and short of it was, in 91, the following, after the first one, the second one, we played the Washington Redskins.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest, of all the four we played, I felt like that was the one we had the best week of practice that we could have, and I really thought we were going to win that game handily, but got beat by the Redskins pretty badly.
The 1 year, which was the year that you played the Dallas Cowboys? Was that the one that you were
actually,
in?
Yeah, actually the last two, in Super Bowl 27 and 28 in Pasadena, and then in Atlanta for Super Bowl 28, we played the Cowboys in back-to-back years.
And there was 1 year there, the 52-17 score, I believe.
That was the game I played in.
That was the game you played in. And that had to be devastating, but how do you weigh getting a chance to play in the Super Bowl and experiencing all of that and understanding where God has put you with just coming up short after all the things you accomplished, just coming up short on that one score?
Well, first of all, there's the, I don't know what the exact quote is, but it's the old, it's not Vince Lombardi, but somebody like Vince Lombardi talking about, hey, it's better to have strapped up and played the game and lost than to not have stepped out onto the field at all. And so there, in principle, that is true. I mean, I would take it every time to be there to be in the midst of the battle and not to win. And obviously, from the perspective, as a Christian athlete, you certainly have an eternal perspective that although it doesn't make your motivation and your desire to play your best and to win any less, it certainly helps you to put things in perspective when things don't go the way you had them planned and had wished that they would occur.
Let's talk about your moment in history, particularly as far as the pros go, the playoff game. And help me with my dates again. That January of 1993 when you were playing the Houston Oilers.
Yeah.
And you're down 35-3 at halftime. Everybody pretty well had written you guys off. And the second half was just something that will forever be connected with Frank Reich. Tell us about what went on there.
Well, again, it was, you know, it was a wild card playoff game. The week before, we had actually played Houston in the last week of the regular season. Jim Kelly got hurt in that game, and I came in and played poorly, and we lost. So then the following week, we're playing again back in Buffalo, but still playing the same Houston Oilers. And being down at halftime, we were down 28-3. And,
okay.
And people fail to realize that the whole key to the game was when I came out in the second half and threw an interception for a touchdown. That's what made it 35-3.
Okay.
And so, you know, at that point, at 28-3, it was still a game in their minds. But when I threw an interception for a touchdown, that's when they shut it down.
And as they came back, as you were in the locker room, you're down 28-3. I know that a number of players on that Buffalo team had a strong faith. That was a team that was kind of unique in that way. But what was the feeling? What got you motivated to get that game turned around and get you back into it?
You know, there was no stirring halftime speech, not by the coach or not by any one player.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, there was a feeling of embarrassment, a feeling of desperation, like, man, we're really looking bad out here. I mean, things are bad. And, you know, and I think when we went out in the second half, it wasn't a question of let's go out and win this game. You know, it was more of a question of let's go out and see if we can make a first down.
Uh-huh.
And let's go out and see if we can stop them from scoring every time they touch the ball.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the great lessons that I've learned through it all, you know, in a comeback like that and in life as well, is, you know, just like in that game, we had to take it one play at a time,
mm-hmm.
one first down at a time, and one touchdown at a time. And in the same way in life, I feel the same way. When the circumstances are devastatingly around you where you seems insurmountable, you just got to take that next step.
You came back and you won that one 41-38. Was it Andre Reed that really had a couple of touchdowns in the second half that kind of got you going there?
Yeah, Andre ended up catching three consecutive touchdown passes that really helped bring us back.
What was the feeling after the game? What were the emotions like?
Obviously incredible. I mean, you know, there's sometimes when something happens on an athletic achievement where, you know, You don't know what it means in realm of the whole history of the sport. But, you know, I think that was one of those instances when we came back and won the game. I think everybody realized right away that this was something very special that had not been done before. I mean, right away, everybody pretty much knew it had set an NFL record. And so there was obviously feelings of great joy in that locker room.
Frank Reich is our guest. He's called the Comeback Kid. He had a great NFL career, and now he's doing something else that you'll want to know about. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about his career and talk about that also. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Frank Reich. And Frank, as you look back on your NFL career and look at all the various years that you got to play with all the various teams, is there any one particular team that stands out? Is it one of those Super Bowl teams, or was it one of the other teams when you played for Carolina or Detroit or the New York Jets?
You know, obviously as a team in general, you know, spending 10 years in Buffalo, my heart probably mostly lies there. I can't say any specifically one year that this was the team or this was the best time. Actually, I look back at it more as a whole as opposed to any individual one part at this point. But each experience was very worthwhile in my growing and maturing as a person.
I know spiritually, too. I read somewhere where after you came back after one of the Super Bowl losses, one of the songs that's become that you really have enjoyed is Michael English's song, In Christ Alone. And I understand that song helped you out. That song helped you out to get you through one of those Super Bowl losses.
Yeah, it really did, because, you know, we talked for a moment there about the come from behind victory. And but really, it was after the 52-17 loss that, you know, after the come from behind victory, I quoted the song In Christ Alone. And but it wasn't until after the Super Bowl loss that I realized what the implications of that song and the lyrics were. And, you know, if I had the time, I'd sit here and recite all the lyrics to you again. But basically the thrust of it is, in Christ alone I place my – he's my source of strength and he's my source of hope in all situations. And what I realized after the Super Bowl was that – the same God who loved me and was with me on the mountaintop of the greatest comeback in NFL history was a God also of, not only of the mountaintop, but a God of the valleys, and he was now with me in this defeat. And that in both situations that Christ was my source of strength and my source of hope.
I know another time that in your life that's been very important to you is when you played at Maryland, and there's kind of a uniqueness there because you were a backup quarterback at Maryland to Boomer Esiason, and you had another big comeback in a game at Maryland. Can you tell us quickly about that game?
Yeah, a little bit different than the pro one in that the pro game I started the first half and played the second, so it was responsible for getting us where we were. In the college game, we were losing 31-0. To the University of Miami in the Orange Bowl. I did not start the first half of that game, and then we came and then came in the second half, and we ended up winning 42-40.
Was Boomer in that game?
No, actually, Boomer had graduated the year before.
But you and Boomer have become close friends, and it's kind of unique to have a team like that put out two quarterbacks, not just two quarterbacks, but two quarterbacks who had long careers. And I know one thing that has been with you and Boomer in your friendship has been you've been able to be there at times when he's going through some rough times. In fact, he's kind of going through one now where he's, his job is out as the ABC commentator, but also with his family. Tell us about your relationship with Boomer Esiason.
Well, Boomer and I were college roommates for 3.5 years. We were the best man in each other's wedding. And then, you know, as we went to our different NFL cities, I mean, we still remain close friends. And really, in the last few years, in the last 4 or 5 years, it's grown a little bit more distance as we've had more kids and become further apart. But still close friends with Boomer. Have great respect for him and what he stands for. And it's a great friendship.
The legacy of Frank Reich in the NFL is, in my opinion, not going to be these comebacks, but it's going to be your faith in Jesus Christ, which I've heard about for many, many years. Tell us how you came to have Jesus Christ as the center of your life.
Well, you know, I would hope and pray that that would be the legacy that I would want my career to stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how God has so often used sports to bring me to a point, whether it be humbling me or putting me on my knees in desperation for his strength and help. But there was a point in my life, speaking athletically now, that really wanted to – everything was competitive with me. And religion was no different. I could earn my way into heaven. I'd score enough points. I'd beat you enough times that I'd end up in heaven. And it wasn't until I understood for the first time, as some people had shared with me, that that I could never earn my way into heaven, that I could never score enough points. As a matter of fact, I could score no points getting to heaven. It was only by God's grace and through faith in Christ and his righteousness and what he did for me on the cross, and the fact that he indeed lived a perfect life, and that when I trusted completely in him, amazingly enough, by God's grace, I had eternal life. And so it just came to a point to really understand that it was all by God's grace.
What was your home life like growing up? Did you grow up in a spiritual family?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I grew up, my mom and dad, from as early as I can remember, you know, we were in church every week, taught me, you know, my priorities were God, God, family, and school, of course, at that time when I was, you know, in school, and were really teaching me a lot of the right things. And really were, I believe God was planting a lot of seeds and building a foundation in my life for the time when I would accept Christ personally myself.
Frank, I know you retired, what, in 1999 from the what was Detroit Lions? That
yes.
Your last team?
Yes.
Since then, you've had a project that's been very interesting in which I've ran into called Crosswalk.com. Tell us about Crosswalk.com.
Crosswalk.com is the number one Christian internet site on the web. About a year ago, I went to work for them to do a sports channel with them, and I currently am the sports channel manager. And we basically, what we want to do on the sports channel is present a comprehensive sports channel that has all the scores, stats, analysis, all the kind of sporting news that you would come to expect on an ESPN or something like that. Mm-hmm. But what our distinctive is that we present a Christian, biblical worldview to sports and athletics. Mm-hmm. We have Christian testimonies, Bible studies, commentary written from a Christian perspective, integrated in with the normal sports information.
And the we might as well give the website address right here. It's just simply www.crosswalk.com, right?
Yeah, you could go to crosswalk.com, which is the home channel, and then you would have to find the sports channel off there. It'd be pretty easy to find. But
one of the things that I've seen that I'm on your list, and I really appreciate it, is I think it's once a week, every Monday, you send down Christian testimonies, and lately I've seen a couple of devotionals from you. I know that's got to be important to you. How, but from a football standpoint, most people wouldn't expect that from a football player. How hard is that for you?
I love it. I mean, like you said, if you come on the sports channel, I write a newsletter that anybody can sign up for, and then we also have another newsletter where we send a weekly devotional out that's from a different professional athlete each week, or coach or something like that, where it's a short devotional thought, and that's weekly. And then my newsletter I write sometimes once a week, sometimes once a month, just depending on what the Lord lays on my heart, where just writing things I've learned through the world of sports as it relates to our walk with God.
Of course, what we found out in face-to-face, and you know this also, is the media tries every way possible, the secular media, to avoid talking about Christianity. But Christianity permeates just about every sport out there, don't they?
It really does. And of course, we want to be a tool and an instrument that God would use to help that process continue to flourish all around the world.
Frank, I really have enjoyed spending time with you, and we once again want to let people know that in order to find out what you're doing, you go to crosswalk.com and then just get on the sports link, and that'll bring you up. Frank, as we close this, I like to close with a favorite verse. I imagine you've got a number of them, but what's a verse that you can leave with us?
Probably one of my favorites. There are many, but one of my favorites would be Colossians 2:6. Mm-hmm. It says, "For just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk with him." And of course, I received him by grace through faith, and that's what I need to do every day, renew my faith day by day in him.
Thanks, Frank, for being with us, and we'll look forward to not only maybe seeing you again sometime, but we'll look forward to hearing from you on a regular basis from crosswalk.com.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Frank Reich, the former quarterback with the Buffalo Bills and from other teams in the NFL. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Frank Reich, and hope he has a lot of success. I'll tell you, it's a coaching carousel. I mean, everybody's moving. I forget, I think there's like 7 different teams that have new head coaches in the NFL this year. And the NFL is under a lot of fire, quite honestly, because of a lot of the... There's a lot of abuse of I won't say there's a lot, but there's abuse of players to girlfriends and wives, and they still struggle with the issues of the performance enhancing drugs. There's the injury. There's a the NFL really needs to answer some questions, I think, and hopefully leaders like Frank Reich can be the ones to do that, to bring a Christian perspective to the National Football League. There's a lot of Christians playing in the National Football League. You just don't hear a lot about it. I want you to check out our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. We've got a number of interviews up there with a number of different players, and we still have up there, of course, our Christian Baseball All-Star team. Check that out. Check out the testimony of some of those players, and I think you'll be encouraged by that, because that's what we would like for you to do. I want you to be encouraged. And speaking of Frank Reich and the verse that he loves Joshua 1:6, and I want to read that to you. It says, the Lord is talking to Joshua, and he says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law.
Do not turn to the right or to the left, and do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Good verses in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face. We'll be right back.